This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Electric scooters are zooming through the cities nationwide, but with mixed results. Here in San Antonio, this new form of transportation is now a common sight downtown. Operating a scooter typically uses a smartphone app to track and charge and unlock the scooter for the user. These things could be a revolutionized downtown transportation, or they could be a flop. What do San Antonio residents think of these scooters? As some cities handle contentious negotiations with these companies, how are local regulations developing? Will this technology be successful for the long term? How can cities improve options for transportation? Have you been on one? Did you like it? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. And let's go with our guest. We're joined by John Jacks. He's the director of the City of San Antonio's Center City Development and Operations Department. Eddie Romero is the Vice President of Marketing and Community Engagement for the downtown advocacy organization Centro San Antonio. Joe Deshotel is the manager and the government relations and community affairs for the company Lime, which has some of the scooters downtown. And we're also joined by Casey Winnington. He is the chief strategist for Blue Duck Scooters, which is also here in San Antonio. Welcome, all of you. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you, David. Thank you.
So let me go with Casey Winnington. You're here at Blue Duck Scooters. Tell me how does it work? If I've never been on one of these things, I see a scooter sitting there on a street corner in downtown San Antonio. What's the first thing I ought to be thinking?
Sure. The first thing we want you to do is download the Blue Duck app. Of course, there are other apps we're not going to mention here, but we want you to download the Blue Duck app. Then you're going to upload your credit card information, take a quick picture of it. It's going to upload the credit card on file. Then you're going to take a picture of your driver's license in the app as well, just so we make sure that no one under the age of 16 rides them. And then from there, you're ready to go. You take a picture of the QR code that's actually on our scooters.
That's a little kind of barcode-y square thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your phone recognizes it really quickly. Then you just then it unlocks the scooter, and you're off and running. You take it wherever you need to go, and then when you're done, you simply hit the lock button on our app, telling the app and the scooter that you're now done with your ride. And then you just put it in an area that is not blocking an ADA ramp, not blocking doors, and move it off to the side. Then you're done.
So you don't want to be scooter litter.
Exactly. We charge $1 to unlock it, plus 15 cents a minute. So your average ride is going to be anywhere between $1.30 and $2.50.
Joe Deshotel, you were at the Lime Company. That sounds pretty much like your process, except we don't have to show the driver's license.
That's correct.
So why not?
That is, well, you know, there are several reasons why you might not want to. One reason is because not everybody has a driver's license in Texas. And, you know, one of the main things we want to do is be as accessible as possible. And so, you know, you have situations where folks who may be residents of the city but may not have a driver's license in the state of Texas. And we know that some immigrants can't get a driver's license in the state of Texas. You know, that's definitely one reason. And we know from the voter ID issue that there are a lot of low-income individuals in the state who also don't have driver's license.
But so what about the safety issue that if a person has a driver's license, then they know the rules of the road? And this is a you're dealing with a vehicle that has to be on the street, right?
Well, so these scooters are under the regulations that bicycles are under as well. And of course, you don't need a driver's license to ride a bicycle. But if you look at the app, you'll see that there are education modules within the app. And it goes point by point before you are able to unlock and ride a scooter, the proper way to ride, the proper way to park, and of course, encouraging individuals to wear a helmet, and other rules around staying off of the sidewalk, watching for pedestrians, and using bike lanes when possible.
John Jacks, you're with the City of San Antonio. This pretty much is fallen in your lap, trying to figure out how we're going to incorporate these zippy scooters into our life downtown. What are you looking at?
Well, we're currently working on some proposed regulations to bring forward to council in early fall, either late September or early October.
But what's the vibe? Are y'all happy with these things?
Well, we're obviously concerned. We're concerned about the safety of the riders and also the safety of pedestrians on sidewalks. But so far, we've seen a fairly warm response to the scooters. I work downtown and I see a lot of people using them, and people do look like they're enjoying themselves. We've done several surveys. We have an online survey that's currently open. We had a public meeting 2 weeks ago where we asked people for input, and the majority of the response we have received has been in support of the scooters. So we're really looking for input from the community, various stakeholders, the companies themselves, and trying to formulate a set of regulations that reasonably regulate the scooters so people can use them and enjoy them, but also that protects the public from either the riders or from pedestrians, particularly those that are on sidewalks and particularly those with disabilities that are using our sidewalks.
So Eddie Romero, you're with Central San Antonio. Your job is to help promote and market downtown, but also you have all those ambassadors downtown. They're all awesome, by the way. They do jobs keeping downtown looking nice and tidy, and you engage with the tourists and you help people. What are you hearing?
Yeah, so yes, we are downtown advocates, but the core of the work we do is keeping downtown clean and working with our partners like SAPD to keep downtown safe. What we're hearing, the buzz, is that these scooters are affordable, they're convenient, they're fun to ride. On the negative side, the opposite side, people are concerned with the safety of riders and pedestrians, and then people dislike that they're blocking sidewalks. So those are some things that we're picking up on the survey that John mentioned that's on the homepage of sanantonio.gov. And then we also have a website, Your Voice SA, that's gathering community feedback.
So it sounds like we have a transportation innovation that looks like it's here to stay. I mean, these things are not going to go away. A lot of investments being put in these things. There's a lot of upside. What we need to do is figure out how to educate the public on how best to use them and how to avoid some of the inconveniences and some of the dangers that are involved. Hopefully we can do that over the remaining part of our hour. So let me go to Casey Whittington. What are the top things you want people to know about these scooters?
First, number one, to be responsible while you're riding any scooter, any electric vehicle, we want you to be responsible. We want you to stay off of the sidewalks. We want you to act as if you were a bicycle when you're in traffic on the roads. We want you to obey all street laws. If you run a red light in a scooter, you can get a ticket just like everyone else can. And we want you to be a responsible rider wherever you are.
And so let me go to Joe Desotel. What do you want people to know? What are the top things you're trying to communicate?
Well, first of all, you know, we have this in the app, and we ask that people follow the traffic laws, and basically exactly what was just said, you know, stay in the bike lanes where possible, stay off the sidewalk, because, you know, we always want to defer to the most vulnerable, and that's going to be pedestrians on the sidewalk and in the street. Of course, that's individuals on bicycles and scooters. And so, you know, being aware of your surroundings and, you know, and then parking properly and not blocking the pedestrian pathways so that they can remain ADA accessible and compliant.
All right, so we're going to take a break. Our phone lines are open. When we come back from the break, we'll give you a chance to have your say. Have you tried one of those scooters downtown? What was your experience like? What do you think ought to happen in order to make this work, or do you want them to go away? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. We'll be right back in about a minute. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about those downtown scooters. They are unlockable, rentable. You got a smartphone. You download the app for the different ones. And then you put in your credit card information. It's $1 to unlock and then 15 cents per minute. Was that your price as well? So that seems to be the going rate. And then you're off. But you got a helmet? I don't know, not really. Well, there you go anyway. You're only supposed to have one person per scooter. I've seen people have multiple people on scooters. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to stay off the sidewalk. People don't obey that rule. Who's going to be enforcing these rules? What happens when someone gets hurt? And that's inevitable. It's happened in other cities as well. If you've got a question or comment, give us a call, 210-614-8980. Salvador is on the line. Salvador, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I was downtown just minding my own business, and about a 20-year-old kid on one of those Lime scooters was zipping down the sidewalk through a crowd of people with no control whatsoever, crashed right into me, His scooter actually hit my leg so hard that it gave me a gash on my ankle, and then my ankle immediately swelled up to about the size of my fist, and I've been carrying this bruise that's really nasty, just changing all kinds of colors and hurts to walk. I'm actually just leaving the store right now to get some antibiotic cream to put on the cut. Obviously, that's not the scooter company's fault. That's the kid's fault, but I would ask that if it's possible that the scooter companies could help invest with the city to put up signage that warns people to stay off the sidewalks with these scooters, because there's no signage downtown telling people to stay off the sidewalk.
Salvador, thank you for calling in. Sorry about your leg, and I hope that gets better for you. Who's liable for something like that, John Jacks, with the city of San Antonio?
That would be a very similar situation to someone that hit somebody on a bicycle. So it's the operator of the vehicle that's liable for that. So I would recommend in that case, it would be just similar to any other vehicle accident where you would file a police report with the police department to investigate that.
And he said Salvador said this was a Lime rider, Joe Deshotel. You are doing community affairs for Lime. You keep saying that it's in there in the user agreement. People don't read user agreements. We know that, because if we did, we wouldn't use anything. It's just part of life now. We click through the user agreement and go about our way, and hopefully that, you know, it doesn't catch up to us. What more can we do? Do you think signage that the Salvador talked about would be a good step in the right direction?
We have talked about signage, including in San Antonio. I know it's not very popular to put signs up everywhere, but you know, it could be part of a combination of solutions that, you know, we put up some temporary signage while people sort of get socialized to the idea of when and where to ride. And I would say that I understand the sort of terms and service agreements that you're talking about, where you just kind of scroll through, hit the button, and move on. And that's actually not the way it's set up in our app. It's actually set up with several pages where you have to click through with large pictures and large font and very little words on there, mostly pictures that just show "do not ride on the sidewalk." And it you know, actually has images there to show you that you should not be doing that. So it's not just in the fine print. It's actually very boldly in the app. And, you know, we are trying to figure out other ways to educate individuals in conjunction with the community.
All right. And so let me go to Casey Whittington with Blue Duck Scooters.
Sure. And Dave, thank you. This is why here at Blue Duck, we've been a little bit slower on our rollout here in San Antonio. This is our home city, so we want to make sure we do that correctly. We first reached out to Mr. Jack's department probably about 6 or 8 months ago. We've been working with the city through a number of ways. We actually hold community outreach events where we teach people how to do these things. We teach them how to ride. This is why it's important that these companies act in a really good faith manner and really try to educate their users and not just go dump a bunch of scooters downtown and hope it goes for the best.
These scooters, they're able to tell you precisely where you are at any given time. It's not as if there's no linkage to the world. I mean, they're being tracked. You can tell. You should be able to tell electronically if someone is on a sidewalk. I mean, can't you, Casey?
Yes, and that's one of the reasons we're actually working on some geofencing options, that we are going to geofence kind of our downtown historic landmarks so that no one can ride up on them, can ride by them and disturb our pedestrians and our tourists. They can't park them there. So like our Missions, the Riverwalk, Tower of America, the Alamo, we're working on geofencing all of those.
Could it be like, so Joe Deshotel, could the scooter be able to tell the rider, you're on the sidewalk, you're not supposed to be on the sidewalk, something, because the scooters can talk to people. They tell them you have to unlock, I'm calling the police, mm-hmm. All sorts of communications going on.
So the GPS is accurate, but only to a certain extent, and especially downtown, because you have the sort of what's called the canyon effect, where the GPS is less accurate because of tall buildings and things like that. So it's very difficult to tell that you're specifically, you know, 3 feet difference between actually being on a sidewalk versus being on the bike lane right next to it. But we do geofence certain areas
like the Alamo.
City Hall, the Alamo, absolutely. Definitely want to remember the Alamo. And then the Pearl and other areas where, you know, the Riverwalk, that where they don't want scooters riding, we geofence that in the app so you can see it. And then further message riders that they are in those locations and that they cannot end a ride there. But really, I think the most important thing is that education piece that was mentioned, and holding these, you know, sort of public training events, opportunities to learn to do it correctly, so that just riders who are doing it right are really the best ambassadors, where people see, oh, well, that's how you park. That's where you're supposed to ride. And then, you know, and then that kind of social pressure over time, that people realize that, oh, well, really, you know, it's very much frowned upon to ride on the sidewalks. Since we can't obviously make them do anything, it really is about just socializing the proper way to do it.
Well, it's not just frowned upon to ride on the sidewalk. It's, you know, it's a ticketable offense. John Jacks, you're with the city of San Antonio. Is there any communication going on with the police department to enforce some of these rules?
Yeah, so right now we're working on we don't really have a specific set of regulations or set of ordinances that address this type of
But if they're being seen as bicycles, if they're treated as bicycles just in and of itself.
Right, and currently bicycles are prohibited on the sidewalk. So if someone were riding a scooter on a sidewalk and a police officer determines that that is an imminent threat or safety to somebody, they could enforce that and remove them from the sidewalk. But really what we're trying to do is create a comprehensive set of rules and regulations that address this in its entirety. And right now that the proposal is to prohibit them on sidewalks and allow them on roads just the same as bicycles.
So Casey Winnington with Blue Duck Scooters, is your objective to try to have a roll out with these with this new transportation device in a way that we don't get a lot of backlash, and so it gets shut down before we're able to actually realize how beneficial this can be for overall transportation?
Absolutely. And all of our conversations with City Hall and other stakeholders have been, we don't want another Uber and Lyft situation in San Antonio.
Where it's going, you guys got to go away, and then we don't have it for almost a year, and then slowly reintroduce it. And
we saw what happened in Austin as well with Riot Austin, but we want to make sure that we're a good community partner and that we roll these things out in a responsible manner. We don't want another Uber and Lyft situation. I think the citizens of San Antonio have spoken out pretty overwhelmingly that they like these mobility options. We just need to be responsible at how we enforce them and how we educate the public.
Let's go back to the phones with Dan. And Dan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just heard about it, and I wanted to give y'all a call and just say I think it's a terrific idea. I was a river rat for 5 years without a car for one of those years, and kind of got an appreciation for the amount of commerce that goes through our downtown area and how dependent we are on visitors and getting them around. It's just a great idea. I mean, if we diversify the way in which people can get around, we'll be the focus of more talk and whatnot.
All right, Dan, thank you for the call. So using this as a transportation option, also maybe getting people, if they want to maybe use the bus, then this is something for their last mile. Suddenly, it's not so difficult to get around downtown. Eddie Romero with Central San Antonio.
Yeah, this is exciting for our city. This is exciting for downtown. We hosted an event over at the UTSA downtown campus last week. One of our board members took a scooter from One Riverwalk Place to the UTSA downtown campus and back. So who offices at One Riverwalk Place? USAA. To connect these two campuses in an affordable, convenient, fun way, I mean, that's a game changer for downtown.
What about getting out of downtown? I mean, is this something that could spread throughout the city? Would you be allowed to run these things through Brackenridge Park or whatever? What are you thinking, Casey Winnington?
See, that's where our conversations with the city come in play here. We want to make sure we're being responsible and respecting the wishes of the city. If the city says that they'd like to see them out at La Cantera, then we can certainly explore those options. But as far as public parks and public spaces, we're trying to be very cautious about just dumping a bunch of scooters and leaving like we've seen some of these other companies do.
But we're seeing a Broadway corridor talked about with protected bike lanes. That seems like it would be ideal for something like this.
Absolutely. And here at Blue Duck, we're big advocates for more bike lanes and more sidewalks, for that matter, for our pedestrian users. And we want more bike lanes throughout the city. That's where we operate. And the more bike lanes we have, the better San Antonio is.
And Eddie Romero?
Yeah. Other cities are using the data that the scooter companies, the dockless vehicle companies, are providing the city to inform new routes to inform where there should be protected bike lanes, shared vehicle lanes, shared dockless lanes. Yeah.
So I can see, like, if you're a student at San Antonio College, you live in that area, you know, parking's always an issue, walking's not always easy, and time's limited, these scooters in that area. Is that something that you're looking at, Casey?
Absolutely. The college campuses are always a big benefit for these. You know, I think Trinity would be a great campus as well for some of these scooters. But again, it's about being responsible, make sure we're educating the users, and also interacting with those different bodies like the colleges and making sure that that's what they need.
Okay, another caller. This is Rebecca. Rebecca, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Oh, so I was just talking about how, you know, I'm really excited to see, like, a local presence with the scooters. You know, I am a student, and I also work downtown, so I've seen that they're really doing some good. They help me get from place to place quickly and efficiently, and, you know, they're cost efficient. They're good for the environment, so I'm really happy about their presence.
All right, Rebecca, thank you for the call. Jodez Hotel, Lime is one of the big companies nationwide. Tell me about what cities are you think that San Antonio should model itself on?
Well, you know, we're all actually learning as we go. We're a year and a half old as a company, and we're servicing more than 70 markets around the world, actually, at this point. And, you know, everybody's a different approach, but peer cities are looking at, you know, their own peer cities to figure out what they're doing, best practices. And we actually provide model regulations that are based on what we're seeing in other markets. There are various approaches that are good, you know, for different parts of the regulatory framework. And so I wouldn't say that any, you know, of course, any city's gotten it perfectly right, but there are others that have been very open about allowing, you know, the companies to sort of figure out.
But there have been some cities that have, like, I think Milwaukee has banned you. San Francisco put out cease and desist orders. Santa Monica is also not going along with what you're doing. There's some cities are, they're reacting differently. I think each city we should be talking to each other to figure out what works and what doesn't work, instead of having to repeat the mistakes each city individually.
Right, exactly. And that's why we provide the model regulation, and we work with the city in each city to sort of create the framework for that community. And we've done the same thing with San Antonio. I was just there yesterday meeting with Mr. Jacks about this and, you know, talking about what, you know, what's going on in San Antonio. You know, and one thing I do think is really important is that you do some local hiring, so that you have local people on the ground who understand the city and who take pride in that city and make sure that, you know, that the parking is done correctly, that any issues are addressed.
Is that what you're doing? Is that what Lime's doing?
Yes, we have over 30 individuals already signed up with Lime.
Are you talking about rechargers or people who are actually on the ground talking to the city?
Yes, absolutely. People who are on our ops team.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about people who do pick up these scooters at night and charge them up and make money. They can make quite a bit of money doing this every day. If you've got a question or comment, give us a call, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about those electric scooters downtown. We've got a lot of callers here, so let's get them on the air. And this is David. David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm wondering about the model of charging by time rather than distance. You've mentioned the need for following all the traffic laws, including waiting for those timed traffic lights downtown. And seems to me by charging by the minute rather than by, say, by the tenth of a mile, you're giving people an incentive to break the law.
All right, David, thank you for that call. Casey Whittington, it's 15 cents a minute. Is that right?
Yes, and that's a fee that we don't think would be punitive or encourage people to break the law. It's always up to our riders to make sure that they obey all of the street laws, and that's why we've been such a good partner with the city and everyone to try to make sure everyone understands how to use these things ethically. And that's why we also have a lot of language on our apps, but that's why we also use a multifaceted approach to make sure we teach all of our riders and every rider in the city how to use them.
Okay, and Nancy has called in. Nancy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
We have a high volume of tourists in our downtown areas, and it's just the volume of people is kind of intimidating for locals to go down there because they don't want to fight the crowds to go to amenities, maybe. But I'm very concerned about an uninsured motorist, basically, zipping through pedestrian walkways, because I don't know how old your caller was before who was injured, but elderly people and children can't always jump out of the way fast enough, and they don't recuperate from injuries as well as younger people do, and or as adults might. And how do you get a license number or find out who this person is who just zipped past you real fast to be able to get any financial redress?
Nancy, thank you for that call. Let me go to Joe Desotel. He's with Lime, which is one of the big companies behind those scooters downtown. How does, if you get hit by a scooter and you get injured, like our caller we had earlier, and then you're able to document that this happened to you right here at that location, can you use your technology to figure out who that person was and follow up with them?
I do believe that it is probably possible to do that. You know, if you give us accurate information on the time and location, we should be able to figure that out.
So if I pulled out my smartphone and took a picture of what just happened to me, that information is going to be geocached into that photograph.
Yes, and you may, know where you are. If you're a local San Antonian, you know, I was at this corner at this time, and, you know, we could probably go back and try to figure out who that was, and our support team would probably be very happy to work with you to try to figure that out.
Okay, let's go to Casey Winnington with Blue Duck Scooters.
Sure. So all of our scooters are equipped with that QR code we discussed earlier, and they have a little number identifier as well. In a situation like that, however tragic it is, we do ask that you take a picture of that and send it in to us. That'll help us track much more accurately than perhaps a photo of the scooter or the person.
So if I'm offended, I got hit by the scooter, and I say, hey, guy, come here, and you take a picture of the little icon, that squiggly little barcode thing, that would help me figure out, hold that person accountable.
That will assist us much more than just a general picture of the intersection or anything like that.
Okay, let me go to David Hurd. He's on the line. David Hurd is with TechBlock here in San Antonio. And David, you're on the air.
Thank you, David. I just want to say a couple things quickly. The tech industry, of course, we're very excited about this new innovation. We're excited about the operators moving to town. We do think that these kinds of sharing economy amenities are very important to building a city that's a city of choice for young people and creative class workers. More and more of these services are going to be, just table stakes for young people where they choose where, when they're choosing where to locate, live, build a career, build a life. And they're the lifeblood of our tech industry and our local economy. So we think it's critical for our economy. It's critical for downtown and density. And I just would like to say also that, the city has been, John Jackson and his team have been very thoughtful, very diligent and collaborative throughout this process. We launched TechBlock about 3 years ago because we felt that we'd lost rideshare without having a seat at the table as an industry. And I will tell you that the city is being incredibly thoughtful and collaborative as they sit down and work through the best approach that balances safety with opportunity. And we feel very good as an industry about that.
So David Hurd, you think into the future as a techno guy. How do you see these scooters as helping us bridge the gap into a smarter way to get around?
Well, Eddie touched on this earlier. When you can connect more of downtown in a way in which all of a sudden you're at one office building and it makes sense when it's 110 degrees outside and you've got a mile and a half to traverse to go to Hemisphere Park to have lunch. Now all of a sudden you can do that. But in a broader sense, we're talking a lot. The mayor is talking a lot about improving our public transportation system. And that last mile connectivity to VIA and whatever public transit investments we make are going to be critical because, at the end of the day, we all know that a lot of people choose not to ride the bus, not because of the experience on the bus, but because of the commute to the local bus stop and the wait. I think that these scooters properly placed in certain hub areas could be integrated with our public transit system and be a big help.
But for people who live maybe within 3 miles of where they work, and they could, even if you don't even work downtown, suddenly do you think people will start thinking about, I could get around on a scooter, I could get around on some other device rather than having a big car?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, the future of cities is this reversion to urban density. We're experiencing it, this urban renaissance in San Antonio with our downtown. You know, the last bond initiative had $50 million in it just for Broadway to connect the museum district all the way to downtown with medians and bike and walk lanes and scooter support. So this kind of infrastructure is coming online. More and more of it will come in the future. That live, work, play experience of a dense urban neighborhood, no matter whether you work in tech or any other industry, it will be important for our city to be competitive long term. And this density is just further empowered by these kinds of last mile, creative, innovative transportation solutions.
All right, David Hurd of TechBlock, thanks for calling in. Let me get another caller. This is Mark. Mark, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Or did I get to, what happened? I got Tito. Tito, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Mark, for taking my call. I live in Dignity Hill, and I'm totally for these scooters. My only concern are, like, the restricted areas that you're referring to, like the Alamo or, like, the Riverwalk or even, like, the Pearl. Is there a way that the companies can, like, fine individuals for, like, violating these restricted areas? For example, because I was at the Pearl a couple days ago, and these young, I say 20-year-olds, they were going really, really fast in and out of people, and they were, like, stopping on a hard break, making pretty cool, like, skid marks with the scooters. And I mean, if they can be fined from, like, not messing up a good thing type thing, could that be an option for the future going forward?
All right, Tito, thank you for that. Casey Whittington, I also want to think about, I mean, should the speed limit be capped maybe at 10 miles an hour? But go ahead.
Sure. So back to the kind of infractions issue with these negative users, we are also exploring ways to incentivize good behavior. So you put it in the right area, you avoid these areas, you behave responsibly, that gets you a credit for your next ride. We're exploring those options to incentivize, just like Mr. Jack said, more of the carrot approach than the stick. That's what we want to do. So it's out there. We're in the working model of it.
And over at Lime, Joe Deshotel, I've heard talk of maybe creating that when you close out, that you have to take a photograph of the of where you put your scooter. Is that something that's in the works?
Yes, actually, it's already live. So if you are in San Antonio and you use one of these scooters, you'll be asked to take a photo to end your ride. And we also have a new gamification mode where you can rate other people's parking. And so that will help us overall in the long run inform individuals better and in a shorter time frame. So ultimately, you know, our goal is to be able to inform individuals, you know, as close to immediately as possible that they're parked incorrectly. And then we could take further action to reach out to them and have a conversation if that's necessary.
Okay, here's a caller. This is Eric. Eric, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah. So I just wanted to address the comment made earlier by someone calling in about incentivizing people to break the law. I ride these scooters on the daily downtown, kind of in the slow flow Cesar Chavez area. And honestly, with the price, I've never felt rushed or the need to break the law because I'm running out of time or doing that. And I find most of the people using these services aren't concerned with the prices either. So I really wanted to address that. I don't think it's incentivizing it, and I think the pricing structure is pretty fair in a way that, you know, it doesn't incentivize this type of behavior.
All right, Eric, thank you for the call. So the pricing, do you think this is something that's going to be stable? Is this something that we're only in, as we're in the honeymoon phase, that we will see prices go up with these things? Because right now they seem very affordable to pretty much anyone. So what's the future of the pricing, Casey Whittington?
Sure. One of our objectives is to provide affordable multimodal transportation, and that means we're committed to keeping that price low and equitable for everybody involved. So we are committed to keeping that price down. I can't say it won't go up or down a couple of cents here or there, that might happen, but we are committed to keeping a cheap transportation option especially in our central business district.
So, John Jacks, what's the number one thing that the city of San Antonio is looking to do in order to bring scooter use into alignment?
Really, our primary concern, our primary goal is to create a safe atmosphere for pedestrians on sidewalks and then the riders of the scooters. And really doing that through a number of different ways. Having regulations in place that people can understand. That's why we're trying to make it as similar to bicycles as possible. That's a form of transportation that people have used for a long time and most people understand. And really making it clear to everybody and educating everybody on how to use it. And really leveraging the technology and working with the companies to make that happen.
All right. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about how people can make money by scooping up these scooters at the end of the day, charging them from their home and then dropping them off in the morning. How much can you make from doing that? How does that work out? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. If you've got a question or a comment, The Source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about those electric scooters. We've got an email from Michael Vu of the electric company called Electric Glider. He says, a fine against irresponsible users for inappropriate parking should be implemented by the city or by the companies themselves. Personal electronic vehicles, electric vehicles, PEVs, should follow the same set of rules as regular bicycles and be permitted to ride anywhere that bikes can ride. A tweet from Aaron, I like the scooter ideas, although there seems to be some safety regulations in need. People shouldn't just be flying downtown. They need helmets. So let's talk about helmets. So people are expected, that's just the thing, you're expected to have a helmet when you get on these things and have it yourself, like Casey Winnington?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why here at Blue Duck, even though the state of Texas does not require you to wear a helmet, if you call us, let us know, you tweet at us, we will actually send you a helmet for free that you can use with our scooters.
Wow. Do y'all do that over at Lime, Joe Des Hotel?
Yes, we have a similar program at Lime.
So it's tweet at you or email you and say, can I please have a helmet, and you'll send me one?
In the app, it explains the process. So if you just request a helmet, it'll tell you the process to go pick one up.
All right. Fantastic. Let's go to Mark on the air. Mark, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went downtown and rode around on the scooters, and we had a really great time. But while we were riding, we wanted to grab a bite to eat. And so we pulled up somewhere, and then we had a second thought because we thought, well, if we leave the scooter here while we eat, we're afraid that somebody was going to take it. And, you know, so we wanted to see if there's a solution for that or if there's something in the works to help that. We could have left it, you know, unlocked and connected to us, but then we would have been paying for time that, you know, we wouldn't have been using the scooter.
So you wanted to leave it there reserved for you, I guess. Is that something that Casey Whittington, mm-hmm. what do you think?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, the model of reserving it without incurring a time cost isn't really efficient for the companies here.
And but I they're everywhere.
I mean, they so are. Exactly. And you should be able to find one. You pull up the map. You should be able to see another Blue Duck around the corner, and then you can reserve it through there.
Let's talk about making money off of these things. Sort of like I've seen that people can go out at night, collect a number of them, and then charge them. They contact you. They become official chargers, and then they can make $200, $300 a night doing this type of stuff. Joe Des Hotel from Lime, how does that work?
Yeah, and to your previous caller, I just wanted to say that we just rolled out a new feature where you can pause your ride so that you don't give up the scooter. However, that 15 cents a minute still occurs for the same reason Casey mentioned, you know, and to a earlier point about the sustainability of the pricing. The idea is that the reason the prices are so low is because we have so many people riding them so much. So to have them just sitting there reserved without being paid for really defeats the model altogether, which is another reason it's so important to have enough devices out there that they are available and people don't have that concern about reliability.
Okay. To the point of making money off of these things.
Right. Juicers. So we have what we call juicers because we're Lime. Obviously, that's kind of a play on words for us. But, you know, they can pick them up after 8:30. PM with their own app, they can see where they are low battery devices. They can go pick those up. They collect them, charge them overnight. And I believe it's between $5 and $15 per device that they get paid out when they charge and then redeploy in the morning. And that's a direct deposit once they sign up for the program.
How's that working out?
Well, it's working out great, but I'll say this though, our operation's a little different than the most companies, where we have our own operations team. As I mentioned earlier, we have a couple dozen folks already in San Antonio who are on the Lime team and payroll that you know help with this. And then the juicer program is sort of just the added bonus, and those folks help us, but we don't rely 100% on them. We have a 24-hour operation of our own.
And Casey Whittington, how do you handle the charging at night?
Similar approach to Joe and Lime Bike. We are committed to providing gainful employment to people, not just a couple dollars here and there. So we are really focusing on having full-time Blue Duck staff going around the city, correcting parking mistakes and picking them up. And another thing that allows us to do that maybe some of these other companies aren't doing is we service each of the vehicles at the end of the evening. So when you get on one in the morning, you know that the brakes have been checked, the tires are inflated properly, it steers the way you want it to. We have another layer of control over these, so we can be responsible about how we deploy them. We're not just letting someone put it in their garage, charge it, and put it back out. There could be a problem with that scooter, and we want to make sure we address it every day.
So if someone becomes, what do you call your duck chargers? You have a cute name?
We haven't had a cute name come yet.
Okay, we'll have to figure that one out. But how much money can they make doing something like that?
So I've seen some of the other companies offer $20 a scooter per night, which is a great benefit to them. Again, but we are committed to providing full-time jobs to people that maybe
okay,
isn't
so
just side
income.
So
you have full-time employees that are doing it and not sort of a gig economy style of doing it.
Exactly. And that way you're not hit with a bunch of taxes at the end of the year. You have some form of benefits, and that's what we're really approaching.
And you have more control.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to another caller, Steve. Steve, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, this is my question for the city. I'm just wondering where the line is as far as other type of electric transportation, such as even the handicap scooters. Obviously, they're on the street, but there are different variations of those that are kind of hitting the market that are for a two-rider, you know, just short of a golf cart. I'm just wondering where's the line as to what kind of electric transportation we can have on our streets. You know, I live in the Lavaca neighborhood. You know, it'd be great to be able to go around on second Saturday to all these venues in my electric scooter. Just wondering where the city stands on that.
All right. Thank you for the call, Steve. Over to John Jacks with the City of San Antonio.
Yeah, so when we first started hearing about this, we wanted to make sure that we were trying to draft regulations and rules that could also expand into other types of vehicles that maybe aren't into San Antonio yet or maybe haven't even been invented yet. And so we're trying to create a rules and regulations that would apply to as many of those as possible. Certainly there could be circumstances or instances where someone has a personal vehicle that may not fall under this. And so we do have some existing regulations that address things like golf carts. And so it may be, and there's other state and federal regulations regarding disability or vehicles for disabled persons. So it could fall under that as well. So I think we just have to look at it very specifically to see, does it fall under one of these categories? Or is there a need to, just like this, address that and create reasonable regulations for that as well?
Let's go to Nita on the phone. Nita, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just want to say that I am a downtown resident. I'm 65. I ride my bicycle a lot. I have a motor scooter of my own, and I've even ridden one of these scooters. So I want you to understand that at my age, I don't have a problem with it. What I have a problem with is they're being put out there. These companies should have to have some signs that are large enough, stiff enough, sturdy enough, on each one of those scooters telling people to stay off of the sidewalk. I have a friend who lives downtown. She's in her late 70s. She walks to work. She's almost been hit twice. She's walking along, practically hugging buildings. She cannot hear them approaching. One time I was out, and I very nicely said to a group that stopped in front of me on the sidewalk, "Those are supposed to be ridden on the streets, please." And, of course, I get an F you and somebody shoots me the bird.
That's terrible. All right. Well, that's not why they're supposed to be called birds. That's something else. So how do we – this is the part of the process we are in a learning environment. We have a novelty phase where people are very quickly drawn to this social learning. We figure things out. It shouldn't be at the cost of individuals who are walking down the street, certainly not our most vulnerable people to physical injury. And so we want to have shows like this where we talk about this stuff and hopefully get people up to speed. So where do you think this is going? Let me first go to Eddie Romero. How do we make sure that people were going to go through this learning phase with the least amount of bruises?
Yeah, David, I think my main message is downtown is in demand. And if we continue to listen to the community's needs and stay agile, we can figure this out.
Okay. Joe Deshotel, how do we do this correctly? What's the learning process?
Well, continued education in person, in the app, and that socialization. I do think some signage could help. But in her particular situation, a sign on a scooter wouldn't help if someone is that rude and, you know, won't respond to somebody in person. So just the diligence and continuing to keep that social pressure that this is the right way to do it.
Well, you're a big multi-billion-dollar corporation. I understand you're like valued at $2 billion, something like that. Why not invest in more like TV spots or YouTube videos or something to get people to learn that way?
So we do actually have the industry's first video that was put out, explainer on how to ride a scooter properly, and it goes through all these points. So the idea behind that is just getting that in front of people and then have them actually respecting that.
And Casey Whittington, how should we go about this?
Sure. I think we should first of all go beyond just videos online. I think San Antonio is a unique city with a unique population, and that's why I want to propose here on the air that Blue Duck and I invite the other scooter companies to join perhaps Eddie at Centro, and I invite the city to be a part of a series of events in which we teach people how to ride these and show them the proper behaviors on them. I think downtown is a perfect place. Eddie has done a great job with the pop-up activations on Houston Street. I think there's a model we could follow there. It's about taking it to the people.
All right. I want to thank all of our guests. A great conversation we had about scooters. We'll be finding how these things progress. John Jacks is with the City of San Antonio, City Development Operations Department. Eddie Romero with Centro San Antonio. Joe Deshotel with the company Lime. And Casey Whittington with the Blue Duck Scooters here in San Antonio. This is The Source. Thanks for tuning us in.